Welcome, everyone, to this podcast brought to you by the McKinsey Institute USA. My name is Jason Ward, and I'll be moderating this discussion today and helping to facilitate sharing the journeys of two recent physical therapy graduates and bringing to you their experience through this transition from physical therapy student to a young career, but one that's off to a really promising start. So our two recent graduates that we're highlighting today are Tim Mahoney of Washington, New Jersey, and Keaton Ray of Portland, Oregon. So Keaton and Tim, on behalf of the McKinsey Institute USA, welcome and thank you both for joining me and offering to share your experience.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, so let's give you guys both a chance to give us a bit of your professional background first, your education, including any prior achievements and other significant accomplishments. Keaton, why don't you start us off?
Sure. So I graduated from Duke University in 2014 with my doctorate in physical therapy. While I was at Duke, I was president of my class and I served on the Student Assembly Board of Directors for two terms. I got my certified strength and conditioning specialist while I was in PT school. And prior to Duke, I was at University of the Pacific in Stockton, California, and I got a bachelor's in athletic training.
All right, great. And Tim, tell us about your journey leading up to PT school and then including that.
Sure thing. Well, I went to University of Delaware. Go Blue Hens. I was an exercise science major. I got my bachelor's in 2011 with a minor in disability studies. And I went to Rutgers University's first PT program for the DPT. Prior to that, it was University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey. So kind of a cool thing to be part of the first graduating class of Rutgers there.
Right. All right. Great. We all have a reason why our journey is led in a certain direction. So if you will, tell us what first got you interested in pursuing physical therapy and what you remember was your first opinion or what physical therapy itself was. Keaton, tell us about that first as well.
Sure. So I remember I first got interested in physical therapy in high school when I was sitting in an AP bio class. And I remember I was just bored silly of AP bio. And I was reading the whiteboard behind my teacher with the notes from the class before me, which happened to be kinesiology, which I had never heard of before. And so I became instantly fascinated by the information on the board, took notes, and signed up for the class immediately after that year, so for my senior year. And then I spent some time in the athletic training room during high school, and 10 years later, here I am. I'm a physical therapist, so that's how I got interested. And I think what really interested me in physical therapy specifically was that you got to help people going through a really hard time in their life, whether it was working with pain or disability, and you got to spend more than just 15 minutes with your patients. So you got to, you get to spend half an hour to an hour to even longer getting to know the psyche and the motivation behind each patient. So that's what initially attracted me.
Okay. Yeah. Tim, tell us your experience.
Well, I guess my first experience was really through my mom. She works in a school for kids with disabilities, and I went to observe one day, and I spent some time with the physical therapist there. And that kind of got me interested in the field. I didn't know much about it at all. So when I went to apply for school, I knew I wanted to eventually go on to PT school, but I had no real direction as far as what specific type of therapy I wanted to pursue. And so I did my minor in disability studies kind of as a precursor to eventually becoming a pediatric therapist. And as things kind of progressed, I got more and more interested in orthopedics and less interested in pediatrics. And that kind of is where I'm at now.
Okay, great. All right, so let's also get a bit of reference so we can appreciate your views on the following questions here. Let's hear about your work experience thus far. Just a bit of the surface, and then we'll get into deeper items about that in a bit. So, Tim, once you graduated, tell us about what you've done since.
Well, initially, when I graduated PT school, I started working for a small outpatient private practice, and I was there for a couple months. I was seeing mostly sports and orthopedic cases, a lot of post-operative surgical patients. And then after a few months, I was basically ready to move on. So I went to a larger hospital-based setting. It's a little bit bigger, more therapists, a little bit more support for a new grad. And that's where I'm currently at.
Okay. And Keaton, tell us about your journey thus far.
Sure. So I worked as an athletic trainer in undergrad for a couple different sports. So I started with aquatics, women's volleyball, and community college football. And then after PT school, got my first job with Advanced Sports and Spine Therapy in Portland, Oregon, which happened to be one of two certified MDT clinics in the state. I had never heard of McKenzie before. Well, I had heard of him, but didn't know much about the specifics before I was employed. And then my journey has been entirely through Advanced Sports and Spine Therapy. And so I'm still with them today.
Okay, great. All right. So we're going to get deeper into a lot of those questions, but I'd love to know more about your current work setting. Keaton, you just briefly mentioned a few things about it, but let's go a little deeper. What patient populations, tell us about, is it in an urban setting, a rural setting, your interactions and the availability that you have with referring clinicians, and maybe even things like how the inner workings of the clinic go, documentation, all those things. Go ahead and tell us more about that, Keaton.
Sure. So Advanced Sports and Spine Therapy is in Wilsonville, Oregon, so just about 15 miles outside of Portland, so it's a metropolitan area. We see patients from 10-year-old gymnasts to 85-year-old patients with Parkinson's, but primarily we're an outpatient orthopedic clinic. We have about 7 therapists in 3 different locations throughout Portland. Our patient care model, we have 45 minutes one-on-one with our patients. We don't have any assistants or any aides, so it's really an ideal patient care setting. We have a good mix of direct access patients and referrals from physicians. We have a good mix of preoperative, postoperative, and then just your typical rehab patient.
Okay, and so that's 45 minutes, that's with initial evaluation and follow-ups?
Yep, so we have 45 minutes one-on-one for evals and follow-ups, which is a really unique setting.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, and Tim, tell us a bit more about where you are and a bit more about your setting.
Well, I work for Hunterdon Medical Center in New Jersey. We have 5 outpatient orthopedic satellite facilities, and I'm in one in Clinton, New Jersey. It's fairly rural in the entire county of Hunterdon, so not so metropolitan as Keaton, but we get a fair amount of everything. We have it's based out of a hospital, so we see a lot of pre-op, post-op patients, a lot of chronic pain, spine-related patients, pediatrics, geriatrics. We do aquatic physical therapy at my clinic. We have a cancer program, pelvic health, women's health, and a couple of vestibular therapists. I think my clinic has 4 full-time therapists, and I think we have about upwards of 20 full-time therapists working in the Hunterdon Medical Center satellite facilities, and then a bunch of part-times and a big per diem pool as well. So we see basically across the board anything that's within the scope of practice of PT.
So. Okay, yeah. All right, now with any career or in any field, there exist challenges, and certainly that's the case for physical therapy. But let's hear from you both about your major frustrations or challenges or just difficulties that you've experienced, whether it be patient care, specific though to musculoskeletal or orthopedic disorders, or just in practicing within an outpatient orthopedic PT setting. Tim, you want to start with that?
Sure. I think being a new grad, you're always looking for the best thing, the next best thing, or what's going to set you apart from the other therapists. You know, you're trying to learn from people that have more experience than you, and I think the biggest frustration that I found was that I couldn't learn it all in one day, and that there seemed to be no standardization across the board. And I saw that a lot in some of the clinics that I worked in as a student, because, you know, you'd see 4 or 5 different therapists treating someone with the same injury or diagnosis, and then you'd have absolutely no rhyme or reason as to why they were doing the things that they were doing, and everybody had their own style, and that seemed to be something that they were boasting about. Some people did a lot more exercise, some people did a lot more manual, and it just became patently obvious to me that, you know, it doesn't really matter what you do, as long as you spend the time with the people, they're generally going to feel somewhat better by the time they're discharged. And that became a little bit depressing while I was in school, because I felt like there had to be a way of becoming an effective therapist. So that to me is a big challenge. But secondly, I think the challenge of just finding a way to, like I said, set myself apart and become more experienced in a short period of time. I don't want to really wait. I guess I'm impatient, but I'd like to be as effective as I can now. And so I'm trying to find a way to speed up the process a little bit.
Sure, sure. So you mentioned just a couple of things there. You said no standardization, and you really began questioning yourself as to how effective you are with your patients. Go into that a bit more. Can you think back of a specific scenario where you felt yourself maybe wavering in what to do with a patient, or realizing, wow, some of my patients aren't resolving nice and tidy like I'd hope they do so?
Sure. I think, you know, one of the big problems with me when I first got out of school was treating back patients and treating shoulder patients. I think when I started treating shoulder patients, the thing that I was always hearing about was impingement. And if it wasn't a you know, torn rotator cuff that had major loss of range of motion and strength, I didn't really know what to do with them. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was giving the same exercises to every person that walked in the door with a shoulder problem. And if they had a couple positive special tests, then I just told them, oh, it's impingement, and we got to reduce the inflammation and strengthen your scapula and work on range of motion, and in time things will get better. And I found myself saying that to almost every patient that walked in that didn't have a positive MRI finding. And I really was wondering whether or not I was actually correct, and if there was something that I could really do for them that was more than just you know, have them do some rows and pull downs with rubber bands and do some joint mobilization. So And as far as the spine patients, you know, I was, well, let's try and flex you a bunch of times and see what happens. Let's try and extend you a bunch of times and see what happens. And if things get worse in both directions, let's just stick with core stabilization, because I don't really know what else to do. Mm-hmm. So that was very frustrating. And I think that's something that a lot of new grads may be able to. I guess they could probably say that may be the case for them. I don't want to speak for anyone else, though.
Yeah, no, I think we can all relate. Keaton, give us from your perspective the major frustrations, challenges you had.
Well, I think Tim really knocked it out of the park there. Basically covered most of what I was going to say, but really what it came down to for me was not knowing my effectiveness with the patients. I took the approach that I bet a lot of new grads take, which is, this is what we learned in school. Let's try this for 6 to 8 weeks, and hypothetically, I think it's going to help you, but we won't be able to know until down the road. And for me, that wasn't really good enough. You know, I had a hard time convincing patients to stay on caseload, to be compliant with their home exercises, when I wasn't 100% confident that what I was doing was specifically affecting that patient. So now, through McKenzie and the MTD system, I can see what I'm doing is effective. And I know for a lot of new grads that can give you a lot of reassurance.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and so we're going to head that direction now. Many clinicians who've been practicing quite a while, and others who are a bit newer, and for a number of reasons, remember their first exposure to some form of improved assessment process. And for us, I think we can all agree and have a similarity that our first exposure to MDT was something that we were excited about, that we remember well. And so I'd love for you guys to share what it was that you remember about your introduction to this assessment method, and what it was that was different, and how it maybe helped you either interact with the patients or even just discuss patient cases with maybe some of your classmates. Keaton, why don't you start with that?
Sure. So my first experience with MDT is actually, I was at House of Delegates in 2013, I believe. And I met Jeffrey Cox, who was one of the owners of Advanced Sports and Spine Therapy, and he offered me a job interview. And so first thing I did was sprint to the MDT booth in the exhibit hall and said, I have no idea what the system is. Tell me everything I need to know. So they sent me to the website, and I took the intro course before my job interview. And I thought to myself, wow, this just makes sense. This is the first time that there's not so many extraneous variables that I understand the plan of care, I understand the assessment process. So when I went in for my interview, I spent a couple days shadowing, and it was really, really fascinating for me to see that during an evaluation, we can take all of our measurements, we can apply intervention, and then we monitor the symptomatic response, and we can see rapid changes, both for better and for worse. You know, the goal is for better, but sometimes the patients respond poorly to a movement, and that leads us to change the intervention or the movement. So to just to see the symptomatic response in patients within 45 minutes during an evaluation was really eye-opening for me. You know, I mentioned before, I used to take the approach of let's go 6 to 8 weeks and hope that you feel better with this exercise or with this group of exercises. And to see it right there in front of my eyes was really cool.
Okay, so that rapid response is really what you took home. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tim, tell us about your first exposure.
Sure thing. I can't really summarize MDT any better than Keaton just did, but my first exposure came as a volunteer in a PT clinic, and they were doing McKenzie, and I didn't really know what it was. I was just watching them do a lot of extension and lying or press-ups, and I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. The patients seem happy, and they're getting better, and so I went off to PT school, and I was waiting and waiting for our McKenzie lecture because I wanted to learn what they were actually doing. And the lecture was, you know, kind of haphazard. It didn't seem very well put together, let's put it that way. And so I kind of left feeling like, oh, I don't really know if I learned anything from that. And so I went and I graduated school and I got my first job, and they sent me off to take McKenzie Part A because both of the owners of the practice were certified in McKenzie, and I wanted to kind of start treating backs. I had been treating mainly the post-op patients and the ankle sprains and things like that. And so I said, okay, I want to go take this course, and I took Part A, and I was totally blown away. It was more than I ever thought it would be. I was given the information that I was looking for as far as why things were happening and why people were responding so quickly. And I saw in the live patients that they treated in the course exactly what was being explained to us happened as far as centralization and the reason and the rationale as to why you would progress forces or why you wouldn't progress forces and the time frames that things should improve in and how to recognize when things won't improve or how to assess patients systematically. And that to me was the thing that I had been looking for since I got out of school. And I think I mentioned before just how that lack of standardization was so frustrating. And here it was as one form that everybody does the same way. And theoretically, if you're doing it correctly and you're not missing any steps, then every person who does it should get the same results. So that to me was like a gold mine. I couldn't think of anything better.
Yeah, no, that's a very good observation that you made. And it really brings us to the next topic here. And we all know that exposure to something versus a minimal competency and versus mastery of something, including MDT or mechanical diagnosis and therapy, can be a significant difference going from a novice to a master at something. But what do you guys recall as difficult for you to accept potentially at first on your first exposure? And then what did it take for it to kind of click or for you to buy into the approach? Keaton, you have thoughts about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I came into the MDT and McKenzie system a little bit skeptical. You know, I had learned in school, try repeated movements, extend them 10 times, flex them 10 times. And if you don't see any results or they get worse, move on. And I think Tim mentioned that same thing. And that's really the most of the exposure we got to McKenzie. So I came in skeptical. And as I said before, as soon as I actually saw how complex and how systematic the system truly is, I realized it's so much more than just repeated movements and just extension. So it, as soon as I saw the system in action, I was instantly converted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Was there anything that later, now that you've been with these mentors of yours and that you've been applying what you've learned in the courses, what additionally is it besides repeated flexion 10 times and extension 10 times? Tell me some of the other things that you're seeing more clearly that it involves.
Yeah, so when I was going through my rotations, I had some excellent orthopedic rotations, but I always had a really hard time feeling different movements in the spine specifically. So upslips, you know, downslips, rotations. I always kind of felt like I was making it up, and I know that probably sounds terrible to say, but I could never really rely on my own hands. So for me, the MDT system really helped me identify how the patient was responding to my intervention. So I had some really excellent orthopedic rotations, and it was a lot of hands-on therapy. And honestly, I was never really confident in what my hands were finding. So what the MDT system has given me is an ability to immediately assess how the patient is responding to my intervention.
All right. Tim, you were exposed through a brief bit of a clinician's working and using MDT, but it wasn't until you went through the course where you saw things a bit more clearly. Can you think back to that first course? And of course, you mentioned that the observation of the instructor actually using a patient to demonstrate and show the practicality of this. What else did you gain? And what did you glean from that first course that really was persuasive that, wow, I think I want to study this more?
Well, I think, you know, I can't impress upon anybody really how profound that first course was for me as far as my thought process. Just being able to break things down in a mechanical way made things so much more clear to me. I've always had a kind of mechanical mind and put things together, take them apart, and figure out how they work, and that usually works for me. And going to school and hearing so much of the, you know, the patho-anatomical model of is it stenosis, is it a disc, is it, you know, piriformis syndrome, is right. It facet joint arthropathy, you know, like these are the things that we were being told, and I really, you know, I had, there was no clear answer to me. So I'm sitting there with all of my spine patients and being able to classify people into the subcategories of derangement, dysfunction, posture, and other made life so much easier for me. It made things so much more clear. And I think the ability to do that and do it every single time somebody walks in the door just makes my life so much easier, and the patients are so much happier as a result of it. And in the process of kind of coming to all these conclusions, you know, I was thinking back on some of the other things that I had done while I was in school, which included taking a couple of the Mulligan courses. And I was very, very lucky to be able to do that. And I still use a lot of the techniques in the clinic. But as far as my personal preference, I think when you're looking at someone and assessing them as far as whether or not they're going to respond to a particular direction or a series of movements, or whether or not they need their forces progressed to really make an exercise more effective, there's nothing that's been more profound than the McKenzie system. And I do say that with a bit of bias, having had some exposure to other systems as well. But I can't say that I'm an expert by any means, but I certainly feel like I'm moving in the right direction.
Yeah, so. Yeah, good stuff. Go ahead, Keaton.
Yeah, so I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on what you said, because I absolutely agree. So one of the most important things for new grads, I believe, is just finding a system that works for you. Because in school, you learn so many variables, you learn so many measurements, interventions, exercises, that is really hard during your first couple of months, even years, I'm sure, as a new grad, to know what to do with all of the variables. So what the MDT system has really done for me, it has given me a path to follow where I collect only the data I need from a patient to apply a good intervention that's going to work for that patient. So having that system has helped me with clinical confidence and critical reasoning with my patients since day one. And then the second thing that you reminded me of, Tim, was the progression of forces. So as far as manipulation and safety with your patients as a new grad, that's really important, just to be safe with your patients. And so what the MDT system gives you is a very clear-cut red light, green light, yellow light as far as whether or not a patient is safe to mobilize and then manipulate and so on and so forth. So that's given me a lot of confidence in my hands-on techniques.
Now, you guys are definitely focusing on the clinical aspects, as we should, since this is a clinical assessment process. But are there any other challenges that you see that MDT has assisted you with in providing solutions for you as a physical therapist? Either of you guys want to take that one?
Sure, I can take that.
Sure.
So one of the hardest challenges for me as a PT was patient compliance, and I think that's something that everybody can relate to. So we see the patients, we say, you know, if you do this exercise at home, you're going to feel better. And then they come back and, did you do your exercise? And 95% of the time, the answer is no. And it took me a while to figure out that that's because the patients aren't seeing the importance of the exercise that they're doing. So with the MDT system, it's like I said before, having that immediate gratification for both yourself as a therapist and the patient, that the intervention is having a direct on effect on the patient's symptoms, that's going to increase patient compliance. Because if they go home and they're hurting, they do the one exercise you gave them that makes them feel better, guess what? They're going to do it. So as far as adherence to your home exercise program and patient independence, MDT system has really hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, great point on that one, Keaton. Tim, what are your thoughts about other things that it helps with?
Well, I think it helps a lot with time management as well. And I think coming from a very busy clinic initially to one that's I'm seeing a little bit less patients, I could say that when I initially started, I was having a hard time managing my time, and feeling like I was not giving enough time to certain people, spending too much time with others. And I think when you're looking at someone from that mechanical perspective of, all right, what is this exercise doing for you? Yeah, and is it making you better? All right, go home and do it and tell me when you come back how it is. And when they come back, if it's not making them better, then you find out why and what can you do to change it, or what can you do to change that result. And when you find that, then really you have half an hour to wipe down some tables and fold some pillowcases for your colleagues.
Or watch that next favorite cat video on YouTube.
That's right.
No, you wouldn't do that at work, Tim. Yeah. I know you wouldn't do that.
Personally, I like French bulldogs.
Oh, okay.
More,
go ahead.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, there you go. But no, I think, as far as for goal writing for new grads, you always have questions as to time frame and duration and how long should it take for this person to get back to where they want to be and whether or not it's truly realistic to do that. And I think when you talk about someone with specifically a derangement, if you're looking and saying, okay, how long is it going to take to reduce it? We know 3 to 5 days, and then that's a short-term goal. And if it's not happening in the time frame that you want it to happen, What's the rationale and what's the reason? So, and how do we fix that?
Mm-hmm. All right. Patients provide us a means of earning an income, of course, but they also provide us so much more than that. And I'd love it if you guys can think back on a memorable patient experience, one that you really learned from, that's stayed with you, and that you feel that you won't soon forget. Keaton, why don't you start us off with any patient that you can think of?
Yeah. So I've had so many patients, more than I can count, that have come to me after our first evaluation or our first couple of sessions and have said, I've had a lot of therapy before and I never really had a lot of confidence in therapy, but this therapy is just so different. You know what? And it's true, because patients can see and feel the benefit in what we're doing. So one of the patients that really stands out in my mind is this lady who came in with just chronic tennis elbow. I mean, she had been struggling with this for years. And we were her third bout of therapy, the first time she had been with us. But all in all, she had been spending years in therapy, getting soft tissue treatment, eccentric exercises, kind of the typical stuff you would do for a tennis elbow. Well, in our first session, we didn't focus on the soft tissue. We looked at the joint mechanics. And we took about 45 minutes looking at different deficits in mobility and did repeated motions. And within our first session, she was 50% improved, and we didn't even touch the soft tissue. Mm-hmm. And this lady started crying. I mean, she was so emotional because she had been for so many years trying to fix this tennis elbow. Mm-hmm. And here she was in one session. So I don't know if she was happy or frustrated or what. But we spent about, I want to say maybe 6 weeks or so with her. So she was about 50% joint mechanics. And then the other 50%, she did have some soft tissue dysfunction that we addressed. But, that was only half the picture. So today she's 100% pain-free, going back to playing tennis. And she's referred 3 people back to our clinic. So that, that's the lady I will never forget. Came in so skeptical and left just so optimistic.
Yeah, good, good. Tim, I'd like to see you outdo that one, buddy.
I don't think I can. So no, I'm gonna pass. No. We all have a lot of cool stories, and I think the ones that always stick out to me are the ones that don't go the way that you would anticipate. I guess the expectation when you get into a system like this is that it's going to work. If you go in with the mindset that 80% of the people that you see are going to improve, then the ones that don't are the ones that kind of get you scratching your head. And for me, I've had a few that really kind of made me wonder if I was doing the right thing from the get-go or if I should have, you know, seen something a little quicker. But one particular one that I can think of was a lady who had a diagnosis of a frozen shoulder, and I was seeing her for, you know, probably a month, and she wasn't getting any better. And I couldn't figure out why, and, you know, we were doing a lot of stretching, a lot of mobilization, a lot of exercises, and she just wasn't getting any better. Her physician was her brother-in-law, so I had to give him a call and see what he thought, and that was a little bit uncomfortable because, you know, it wasn't just a doctor, it was also a family member. You know, I went about it in a different way. I put her on hold, and she went and got some injections and came back, and I said, "Oh, how are you feeling?" And she said, yeah, about the same. No different, really. Pain's a little bit less, but, you know, I can't move any more than I could. I said, okay, no, that's not really all that surprising. But, you know, I just took this course over the weekend. It was McKenzie Part B. And why don't we try a few things, you know, for your neck and your thoracic spine. I just figured maybe we could get a little bit more mobility in the shoulder if we kind of opened up the thoracic spine a little bit. And I never screened her neck is what it came down to. I hadn't taken that course at that point, and I had never really thought that there was any kind of reason that I should screen the neck. So, of course, she does a couple of retractions, retraction extension. Traction extension with overpressure. She has full range of motion of her shoulder. She walked out pain-free. She did it for another two visits, and I discharged her. So I was so apologetic because I said, you know, I'm so sorry that we didn't, you know, look at this earlier. And she just said, "What are you kidding me? I can move my arm now. So why are you apologizing?" So, right. You know, that was a good one.
Yeah.
But I think in general, the ones that stick out to me are the ones that I could have been treating for months and months and months and seen no change, because truly they're not mechanical responders. And that's what another thing that this classification system does is it really kind of weeds out those people, and you realize quickly that you can't do anything for them.
Right.
And get them out.
Yeah, and I think we have to be careful, and maybe it's a good time to just mention briefly and elaborate on what you're saying there, Tim, that by no means are we saying that this system fixes everyone. The
right.
treatment necessarily isn't for each patient, but the assessment process is to identify those who are appropriate and those who are inappropriate, and we need to move on because of some other non-mechanical issue or something sinister or yellow flags or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I'll elaborate on that, because that's what's something that's really important for myself is the efficiency of the system. So I feel bad if I keep somebody on the system too long now. So if I have somebody in my clinic who's not responding within 2 weeks, I really start to question, is what I'm doing appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
And so with the healthcare system now, how it is, you know, PTs are always pushing conservative care first, you know, let's save money. But a lot of the time, you know, we can keep people on caseload for too long. So what the MDT system does is it helps me with efficiency. So if a patient is not responding to what I'm doing, I know they may not be a candidate for PT, and that's okay, because we can't help everyone. Some people are truly surgical candidates, are going to respond to injection. So for me, knowing that within a couple of visits is extremely helpful as a new grad.
Yeah, good point. All right, so you're early on in your career, fairly early on for both of you, and it may not be difficult to remember the struggles in school or within the first year or so out of school, but do you have any interest in reaching out to students, or have you already, and try to help them potentially avoid some similar difficulties?
Yeah, I'll field that one.
Yep.
I feel like I talk about MDT to just about every single one of my classmates that I run into, my colleagues. We have a lot of student physical therapists that come through the clinics at Hunterdon Medical Center, so I've been kind of in their ears about that, and we get some volunteers as well. And I just really, I feel like it's a system that is highly validated. There's a lot of research about it, so that there's no real reason that it shouldn't be more utilized. And I think when we can get into the schools and have conversations with the students and the faculty and really let them see what we see on a daily basis, then I think that will spread the word better than anything else.
Right. Keaton?
Yeah, so let me just start by saying that I love students. So I've had 5 undergrad students at this time, and I'm going to be a CI for the first time in November. So shout out to my future student in November.
There you go.
The exciting thing about students, and also kind of the scary thing, is that they're so impressionable. A lot of times in school, they'll learn about McKenzie, and it's not always a true representation of the system, so it can lead to bias in their minds as they progress into the actual patient management part of education. So I think the best way for new grads and experienced clinicians to spread the word of McKenzie and help bring new graduates into the system is just to go out there and teach a class. You know, we want experienced MDT clinicians teaching the class, not people who are just somewhat familiar with the system. And then be a CI and take students. And, you know, to understand the system, you really have to be in it, and you have to see it happening, and you have to see the patient response to understand. So yeah. I would just say let's get together all the McKenzie clinicians out there and just educate our students and our upcoming generation of physical therapists.
Yeah, you're a step ahead of me. I was going to ask, you know, you guys can remember those frustrations possibly a bit better. What would you say to a clinician that's been out there a little while and they've really been utilizing this system, trying to adhere properly to the principles, maybe they're credentialed, possibly they're a diploma MDT clinician. What would you say to help persuade them to make a difference and possibly help save a rookie clinician out there from unnecessary frustrations in musculoskeletal patient care? Tim?
I think for me, you know, there's a reason that people get into this system, and I think it's because they see the benefit of it. And if you can see the benefit of it for yourself and for your clinic, then you have to see the benefit of it for the profession as a whole. So if we can get new graduates or young, newer professionals invested in the system or invested in clinical education in general and continuing education in general, then there will be improvement and there will be a higher quality of therapy that's being given. So for me, I think pay it forward would be a good way of summarizing in short. You know, one of the things that the McKenzie Institute offers is a scholarship for new grads. And it's a new scholarship, but it's something that I think we need to kind of get the word out about, because if one person can have all their courses paid for by the McKenzie Institute, then what could we do on a grander scale if every certified MDT or every diplomat gave $20? How many people could we pay for to take some of these courses and really see that clinical effectiveness improve across the board?
Yeah, good point. What recommendation would you guys give to that final year student or possibly that first year or two out physical therapist who's had some of these similar frustrations and challenges? What would you guys say as a first step? Keaton, you have thoughts?
Yeah, so the first step is find a mentor and go into a clinical setting where you're going to be supported in your clinical reasoning and your professional growth. The MDT system has obviously worked really well for Tim and I, but like we said, you know, it's not for everybody. So find something that's going to lead you in a path to success. And whether that is getting a mentor or taking a continuing education class or you know, doing a residency, find something that's going to help you collect your clinical thoughts and develop yourself as a professional.
Mm-hmm. Tim, any other thoughts about that?
I think don't try and do it all. I think, you know, when you're a jack of all trades and master of none, then you really do yourself a disservice. So find something, like Keaton said, find something that you're interested in and do your best to learn as much about it as you can. And look to your colleagues as mentors, and find a place where you can work and you can do your best without compromise.
Sure. So that job offer that pays $1,000 or $2,000 more per year but doesn't have the clinical mentoring, which of those situations would you guys choose?
Oh, the mentor, for sure.
Oh, the money. No. Absolutely not.
Yeah, okay. Would you also recommend that simple introduction to MDT, Keaton?
Yeah, so the video you're referring to is free for everyone. So if you go on to the McKenzie Institute USA website, I don't know exactly where on the website it's located, but it's a free introduction video. I think it's about an hour or so, maybe a little bit less. And it just gives you the basics of the system and how to approach getting involved in the system. So, I mean, it was extremely informative for me, and it's available to anyone, so why not take a look?
Yeah, great. And we'll make sure that that's made available at the conclusion of our discussion. So, Tim and Keaton, on behalf of the McKenzie Institute USA, I want to thank you guys for your willingness to spend some time with me and share your story and your experience of how you discovered increased clinical confidence and a system that you can work within and improve your skills through the McKenzie Method.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you again for joining us for this podcast. We trust you can relate with Keaton and Tim and the challenges they've encountered transitioning from physical therapy school into their professional career. And whether you're a student, a recent graduate, or a seasoned therapist, it's likely you've had moments when you wish you felt more sure of the effectiveness of your care like Tim described. Perhaps you've questioned whether you can rely on your hands to guide the management of your patients, as Keaton shared. And maybe there is a system which would just make sense to you and give you the information you've been looking for. Well, that concludes this podcast brought to you by the McKenzie Institute USA. We invite you to visit our website to learn more about the proven assessment process of mechanical diagnosis and therapy, and how through proper use of it, you can experience improved clinical confidence with your patients. Just go to McKenzieInstituteUSA.org.